We pray. Heavenly Father, Lord of all mercy and grace, walk among us and talk with us through your holy word. Instill in us a sure confidence that because you live, we too shall live. Our Savior reigns supreme, and may he reign supreme in our hearts and in our lives. To you be our thanks now and forever. Amen. How many miracles have you had in your life? How many more miracles would you still like Jesus to give you in your lifetime? Our gospel lesson picks up from where we left off last weekend, with Jesus being in the synagogue at Capernaum. There he had preached with authority, and he had driven out an evil spirit from a demon-possessed man. And so Mark continues the narrative and tells us that as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. The street is still there in Capernaum to this day. And as we walk in their steps from the synagogue down to Peter's house, let's walk in the shoes of James and John, so we might understand what they were going through. They were there with Jesus and taking everything in that they had heard and that they had seen him do, taking it in and trying not to be overwhelmed by it all. Every word that Jesus spoke revealed deep mysteries about the Heavenly Father. And Jesus preached in such a way to make it so plain and obvious and absolutely trustworthy. James and John were there to hear. But then all of a sudden they saw this demon-possessed man, this demon from hell spewing out all kinds of blasphemies. The demon's pure evil sent shivers up their spine. But Jesus, without a shred of fear or intimidation, simply just commanded the spirit to be silent. Then he commanded this dark angel to come out of the man and go back to the abyss where he came from. I would imagine James and John were very happy to make their way down to Peter's house. Oh, let's go to Peter's house and sit out on his back patio and have a big glass of lemonade. We need to rest. But that wasn't Jesus' plan for the day, was it? They had no more walked in the front door, and there was Peter's wife crying. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. A serious fever? A deadly fever? Was it time for them to start planning a funeral? Jesus went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. The fever left her just like the demon had left the man earlier. Once again, with their own eyes, James and John saw the miraculous power of Jesus and his word. Jesus restored Mom to such health that she was able to get up and act as though no miracle had even happened. Except their testimony that this was a very sick woman just moments ago, and now she's waiting on us. Mark went on, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town was gathered at their door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He drove out many demons, but he would not let a demon speak because they knew who he was. Over and over again, Jesus kept teaching with authority, healing diseases and driving out demons with a word. A typical day in the life of Jesus. After hearing Jesus' words and seeing these miracles, what were James and John supposed to take away from their day spent with Jesus? From death to life, he delivers with a word. With a word, he heals the sick. With a word, he drives out demons. Come out. And with a word of how he's sacrificing himself for the sins of the world, he creates saving faith in all the hearts of those who listen. While everyone was sleeping, Jesus got up by himself, went out and prayed. Prayed for his disciples that they would understand and trust his word. The disciples came out to bring him back to Capernaum. But Jesus had other plans for that day. Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. Jesus told his disciples, "That is why I have come." God came to this world, this sin-infested world. He was born of human flesh, and he walked those dirty, dusty roads of Galilee all so that he could preach the good news, heal the sick, and drive out the demons. From death to life, he delivers with a word. Well, that was a fascinating day in the life of Jesus, but honestly, what does that have to do with us? How many miracles have you received in your life? How many more miracles would you like Jesus to do? Or maybe you don't believe miracles really happen. Oh, Jesus is gone. He ascended back up into heaven. We can't see him or touch him or walk along the road with him. Miracles are pretty much over, right? Scripture says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The very fact that we believe that Jesus is our one and only Savior is proof that the Holy Spirit has worked that miracle of faith in our hearts and souls. What did Jesus mean when he said, "I am with you always to the very end of the age"? He is always with us. As surely as he was standing in Peter's house, so he is with us when we are sitting on the couch, when we're driving in the car, when we're working at our job or lounging at our vacation. There, our best friend is right there with us with his almighty word. How many more miracles would we like Christ to give us in our lifetime? In the middle of this sinful and wicked world, Jesus calls out, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Have we been given his rest? Do we know of his peace? That is a miracle from beyond this world, from our God to us through his word. Jesus says, "Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Jesus knows how to give us exactly what we need to those who ask in faith. Has Jesus answered your prayers? James, who was a witness to all of these miracles this day, warns in his letter, "What causes fights and quarrels among you?" Oh, we live in an age of fights and quarrels. "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires? That battle within you? You desire, but you do not have. So you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives." I have never seen an actual demon possession where it required an exorcism. But often, when we are suffering, we talk in terms of how our demons are tormenting us. All people in any 12-step recovery program first start out by admitting that they are addicted and helpless to free themselves from the clutches of their addiction. Then always the next step is to cry out to God to free them from the control and domination of their addiction. In short, to free them from their demons. God blesses them with the miracle of sobriety. What demons torment us? Maybe a demon has gotten control of our tongue. Do we find it incredibly easy to lie or gossip or verbally slash and stab others with the razor-sharp tongue of ours? To curse or to swear or to wail in self-pity? Maybe the demon of lust inflames us to act like wild horses in heat. Maybe the demon of money, power, or pleasure keeps thumping in our head, "You gotta have more, more, more of whatever you want." Maybe a demon has chained us to the basement wall of despair, fear, or anger. Would we like Jesus to drive out our demons and set us free? He does it with a word, His word, in our souls. I think the most deadly demon of all is the demon of apathy. Listen to God's passion and love for us in these words. He says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." Do we hear His love in those words? It's at just that moment that the demon on our shoulder wants to grab a hold of our jaw and screams in our ears, "Repeat after me. It doesn't matter what you say. I don't care what you say, Jesus. Just leave me alone." How awful. Do we ever find ourselves whispering in the corner, "It doesn't matter whether I worship this weekend or not. I don't really want to read my Bible or attend a Bible study. I've got better things to do. I and my kids know enough about God. We're moral people, and God's going to take us to heaven. All I need to be concerned about is just what's happening in my life right here and now." Those are the demonic voices of apathy. Jesus calls it lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. He is about to spit lukewarm Christians out of His mouth and say, "I never knew you." Jesus, come to our village, into our living rooms and kitchens. Take us by the hand and speak those Bible verses into our hearts that will truly heal us. Drive out that demon of apathy in our hearts. Bring us from death to life through the word of your forgiveness. It is for these sins that you have died and come back to life. Oh Lord, in this world the air is heavy with the stench of death and evil. Your word is the only fresh air we have to breathe. May we breathe it in deeply and daily, dear Lord. Oh, good shepherd, you said that you have come to give us life and give it to the full. Open our eyes to not only your power, but also your love. Set our hearts ablaze in love for you. Give us a holy hunger for and an unmovable trust in your holy word. Then we will have life to the full. How many miracles have you had in your life? How many more miracles would you like Jesus to give you? What physical, emotional, or spiritual sickness would you like Jesus to heal? The Apostle Paul writes, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to all who believe. From death to life, he delivers with a word. How different our lives will be if we feed our souls on God's word every day. The demons won't like it, but oh, there are miracles to be gained. He who made us the children of God has many blessings in store. Trust and rejoice. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, God of all grace and blessing, lead us ever onward. May your light be that light for our path to guide our way ever closer to you. Guide us, bless us, lead us ever deeper into your holy word that our lives might be aglow in your truth and grace, now and forevermore, in Christ our Savior. Amen.